June 29th, 2024 will live long in the memory for Galway people all over the world as the day we finally beat the Dubs. For 90 years, Galway had never beaten Dublin in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, so the outpouring of emotion in Croke Park that summer day was understandable. But there is so much more to the story than just the lengthy passage of time between Galway victories. It was just as much about the intervening years, the unexpected nature of the victory, and the erosion of an inferiority complex that has always been the DNA of those of us that call the West of Ireland home. After the Dubs won the side's first meeting in 1923, Galway won back-to-back matches in 1933 and 1934. The first of those victories was the All-Ireland semi-final of 33, when a Galway team captained by Mick Donlan, father of 1964 All-Ireland winning Galway captain John, and grandfather of two more All-Ireland winning Galway players, Michael and John, beat Dublin 8 points to 1-4 in Mullingar, but ended up losing the final to Cavan. The following year, Galway wore maroon jerseys for the first time and became the first team to bring home the Sam Maguire Trophy to the West when they beat Dublin 3-5 to 1-9 in the 1934 final at Croke Park. There was great excitement among the players as the winning team earned a trip to New York. So, shortly after the final, the Galway team and mentors departed by boat for the Big Apple, where they played a number of games. One man on the losing Dublin team that day, Bobby Beggs, would go on to make history as one of the few players to win All-Ireland senior medals with different counties. Bobby Beggs was born on February 25, 1911, on Balbriggan Street in Skerries, and 23 years later, in 1934, he featured in the Dublin defence in that All-Ireland final defeat against Galway. The following year, Beggs found himself in the maroon and white after getting a job in Galway driving a lorry for Thomas McDonough and Sons seed grain merchants. In an interview with RTE's Brendan O'Reilly in 1983, Bobby recalled the moment he read about virtually every club player in his native Skerries being suspended for going to a rugby game.
There was nothing else for fellas to do, only kick football or play cricket, or and there was no soccer in Skerries at the time. At that time, there was nothing, only the Gaelic. 27 before the rugby started.
Yeah.
And then I remember in 35 when I went to Galway, I took up the hurl one night and there was 35 suspended out of Skerries Harps for going to a rugby match in Balbriggan. Skerries was playing Balbriggan. 35 of them.
Based in the Cladda, Beggs would spend 7 years in Galway, where two of his eldest children, Brian and Rita, were born. He enjoyed great success with both his adopted club and county. With his club Wolftones, Beggs won Galway County Championships in 1936 and 1941, and he captured the first of his All-Ireland medals in 1938, when Galway defeated Kerry in the All-Ireland final replay on a scoreline of 2-4 to 7 points. That triumph aside, Beggs also won three Connacht Championships with Galway and a National League medal in 1940. After losing the All-Ireland finals of 1940 and 1941 to Kerry, Beggs returned to Dublin with his family. And this coincided with an upturn in fortunes for his club, Skerries Harps, and the Dublin County team. Amazingly, as soon as Beggs returned to Dublin, they were on a collision course with Galway in the 1942 All-Ireland final. Beggs would play a starring role as Dublin won their first title in 19 years, condemning Galway to the ignominy of losing three All-Ireland finals in a row on a 110 to 18 scoreline. For two counties who enjoyed huge provincial success, it was somewhat peculiar that Galway and Dublin would only meet once in each of the next two decades, with Dublin on top on both occasions. In the 1958 All-Ireland semi-final, the Dubs prevailed by the narrowest of margins, 2-7 to 1-9, as they went on to beat first-time finalist Derry in the final. Then, in the 1963 All-Ireland final, a young up-and-coming Galway team were narrowly beaten by 1-9 to 10 points in a match where Galway supporters felt aggrieved that they were not given a last-minute penalty by the Wicklow referee, which might well have snatched victory. A year later, Galway would beat Kerry in the first of their three-in-a-row All-Ireland successes, and with Meath emerging as the dominant force in Leinster in the mid-60s, the Dubs would take a back seat until they re-emerged in the 1974 All-Ireland final. The immediate aftermath of the three-in-a-row success proved a fractious time in Galway GA history, as it became apparent that one of the greatest teams in history was not going to be easily replaced. And yet, by 1974, Galway had qualified for and lost the All-Ireland finals of 1971 and 73, so there was great hope that a largely unknown Dublin team could be put to the sword. Things started well for Galway, with the Mickey Rooney goal giving them a two-point lead at half-time, 1-4 to 5 points. Early in the second half, Galway had the chance to extend their lead when they were awarded a penalty. But then this happened.
The man with number 14 on his back is going to come up there on the left of your picture any moment. Here it comes. And he saved it! He saved it! Oh, Paddy Cullen!
Dublin outscored Galway by 8 points to 2 from there to the finish to lead to the famous cry, "The Jacks are back," and spark a decade-long rivalry with Kerry that would leave everyone else in the doldrums. When Galway did eventually re-emerge from losing three All-Ireland finals in 4 years in the first half of the 70s, it was 1983. The all-conquering Kerry team that were denied five in a row by Offaly and Seamus Darby the previous year had lost their Munster title to a last-second Tadhg Murphy goal for Cork, and the All-Ireland title looked wide open. Galway edged past Donegal in unspectacular fashion in the first All-Ireland semi-final before the Dubs beat Cork in a replay to set up a sixth All-Ireland final between the counties. What transpired on September 18, 1983 was a game of shame and an All-Ireland final that would be remembered for all the wrong reasons. According to those on either the terrace that day or in the stands, 1983 was one of the GAA's bigger crowd safety scares and could easily have turned into the Hillsborough disaster that shocked the world 6 years later. All-Ireland finals weren't all ticket affairs back then. You did need a ticket for the stand, but no tickets were required for the terrace. You just arrived on the day and paid at the turnstiles. The result that day was terrible crushing on both Hill 16 and the Canal End. A gale force wind and driving rain made it impossible for both sets of players to show their true skills. The late Dublin midfielder Brian Mullins was sent off for swinging an arm back and hitting Brian Talty in the first half. And an overzealous referee John Gough from Antrim didn't help the temperature of the final when he harshly sent off Galway's Tomás Tierney and Dublin's Ray Hazley for an innocuous first half scuffle soon after. The bad blood continued as both teams ran down the tunnel at half-time. Brian Talty failed to emerge for the second half after being involved in an incident in the tunnel. And the tensions continued into the second half when Dublin were reduced to 12 players following the sending off of Kieran Duff.
And now it looks as if somebody else is going off. Kieran Duff has apparently flattened somebody over there on the far, and he's been put off. Now let's get back to the counting. It's 12 Dublin and 14 Galway. And the game is over and Dublin were the champions. And the crowd are absolutely streaming into the field. All the young enthusiasts now that the game is over.
Despite having a two-man advantage and playing with the gale force wind, Galway failed to claw back the deficit and ended up losing by 2 points, 110 to 18. Galway manager Matty McDonagh, a four-time All-Ireland winner as a player, was accosted afterwards by several Galway supporters, angry at the abject failure to make their numbers count. Dublin captain Tommy Drum even chose to lift the Sam Maguire Cup upside down from the Hogan stand, a tribute perhaps to a topsy-turvy All-Ireland final. But the fallout from the 1983 final was immediate and harsh. The Galway County Board made a formal complaint that several of their supporters had been attacked outside the ground. There were widespread reports that buses full of Galway supporters were stoned as they left Dublin. Kieran Duff was banned for 12 months, Brian Mullins for 5 months. Their manager Kevin Heffernan received a 3-month ban and Ray Hazley got a month. Two players from Galway, Tomás Tierney and Peter Lee, were both suspended for 1 month each. Both county boards were also fined. It was a nightmare from a Galway perspective, and one that would take another 15 years to overcome. Incredibly, Galway and Dublin never met in the championship again until 2018. The Dubs went into decline after they lost the next two finals in 84 and 85 to Kerry, and the emergence of Meath created a new force in Leinster in the late 80s and early 90s. Galway sporadically emerged from Connacht, but it wasn't until 1995 that there was a possibility of a repeat final between the two counties. Galway played well in the All-Ireland semi-final that year, but lost narrowly to a fine Tyrone side, who in turn lost out to Dublin in the final by a single point. 3 years later, Galway broke a 32-year hoodoo by landing the All-Ireland title under the late John O'Mahony. But it was Kildare in the final, not Dublin. 3 years later, it was the same story, but this time it was Meath to suffer at the hands of Pádraic Joyce and co. in the 2001 All-Ireland final. Galway fans thought the glory days would last forever, but they don't. It would take another 21 years for Galway to get back to the All-Ireland final, as Dublin benefited from a national GAA strategy to increase investment in the capital by going on to dominate the football championship like no team had done before. From 2011 to 2023, Dublin won 9 All-Ireland titles, including an unprecedented 6 in a row. Galway and the rest of the country could only watch in awe. Our near neighbours Mayo suffered even more against the Dubs than the now older Galway fans could recall in 83, losing by a single point in the finals of 2013, 16 and 17, all matches that Mayo could and should have won. By the time 2018 came around, Galway were making progress under manager Kevin Walsh, and there were signs we were starting to creep into the reckoning for All-Ireland honours again. For the first time in 17 years, Galway were back in an All-Ireland semi-final, but they were faced with an impossible task of beating the unbeatables. There were a few references made to 1983 in the build-up to the game, but the new generation of young Galway supporters had no idea what we were talking about. In the new era of selfies and TikTok, old YouTube clips or Scannall documentaries on RTE had no relevance to the under-30s. And maybe it's just as well. On the field, there was little sign of animosity between the players or management. Dublin were simply too good, and there was an inevitability about the result every time they played in those years. That, apart from when Mayo rocked up, the atmosphere was generally low-key, bar the roars of "Come on, you boys in blue" from the hill. Dublin beat Galway 124-212 in the 2018 semi-final, en route to making it 4 All-Irelands in a row against Tyrone. 2024 would be make or break for Galway, it seemed. Now in his 5th year as manager, Pádraic Joyce knew the stakes were high, but the GAA world was changing in the background. There was a growing unease about the way Gaelic football had turned into a game of chess, with endless passages of hand-passing and keeping possession, and packed defences the order of the day. Dublin's dominance hadn't helped matters either, as teams tried anything to stop the blue juggernaut. It all added up to football fans turning their back on the game in droves, while the game of hurling moved into a whole new stratosphere of brilliance. All of this was part of the undercurrent to last year's Connacht Championship, and there was a good degree of astonishment when the GAA decided to do the draw for the group stages of the All-Ireland Championship 5 days before the Connacht final between Galway and Mayo. In most commentators' eyes, the last 16 of the race to win Sam Maguire is where the championship now begins, and the provincial championships are slowly being diminished until they become a separate entity altogether. So there was much chatter in the build-up to last year's Connacht final, similar to this year, that it might be better to lose the Connacht final if you wanted a better chance of winning the All-Ireland. Farcical as it sounded, there was logic to the suggestion. Whoever won the Connacht final would be in a group with Armagh, Derry and Westmeath, while the losers would play Dublin, Roscommon and Cavan. Surely avoiding the Dubs would be incentive enough for Galway. In the end, the only motivation that matters is getting one over on our near neighbours and greatest rivals. And there was a most unlikely hero to score the winning point.
You couldn't write the drama. The tension in Beer Stadium, 39-34. And Cara Gleeson will come up to take a free that could ultimately win the Connacht final for Galway. Gleeson makes his way up as if he's walking up to a green and down in Dunmore, going taking a little chip on. He'll have no bother with the distance, but can he get the accuracy? Listen to Pier Stadium if this ball goes over the bar. The kick will come for Gleeson. It's on its way. It's high. It's over the bar. Conor Gleeson puts the ball up and over the bar. And Galway just might have won the Connacht final.
So we avoided the Dubs. But for how long? Workmanlike victories over Derry and Westmeath meant the final group game against Armagh would decide who would go straight to the quarterfinals and who would face the prospect of a preliminary quarterfinal a week later. The exact scenario that led to Galway losing to Mayo 12 months previously. For 55 minutes, Galway were in control against the Orchard men in Sligo, until a lapse in concentration from a short kick-out yielded a goal that breathed new life into Kieran McGeaney's side. Suddenly, at the end, Galway were hanging on.
60 seconds for Armagh to draw the game and top the group. 60 seconds for Galway to stop them, to hold on to this 1-point advantage. 15 points for Galway, 111 for Ard Fhacha. The Ulstermen come looking for the equaliser, and Galway are trotting back. Shane Walsh can't get there. He's trying to stop
Campbell.
He can't afford to foul
him.
Shane Walsh tries to get a foul. There's nobody marking. An opportunity. And it goes to Campbell. He punches it over the bar. Armagh are at level. There was no marking. Shane Walsh didn't have the legs to stop him.
No.
The matchups were all wrong. And Campbell came all the way through. It's all over. Armagh draw. Galway have as good as lost the game. Armagh top the table.
The sense of déjà vu was palpable. But this time the draw threw up Monaghan in Pearse Stadium and Galway felt relieved. Until we realised who was waiting in the quarter-finals. Dublin. Still, all Galway could do was win the next game and then start thinking about the champions. A 14 points to 11 win over Monaghan was hardly laying down a marker to frighten the Dubs, but it was another controlled performance from Galway and another clean sheet, their sixth in seven games. And so it was on to Croke Park for the All-Ireland quarter-finals on Saturday, June 29th, and a double-header involving Roscommon and Armagh, followed by Galway and Dublin. The pre-match odds suggested that both Connacht counties would be going home with their tails between their legs, and that logic looked sound as Armagh defeated Roscommon 2-12 to 12 points to book a semi-final meeting with Kerry. The Galway support looked sparse in the wide expanses of Croke Park, and we all wondered if the Taylor Swift concert across the city in the Aviva Stadium had proven a more attractive proposition. By half-time, the game was very much going to script, as Dublin led by 11 points to 7 and seemed to be operating in second gear. There was no inkling in the early parts of the second half that a comeback was on the cards. It was more of the same, in fact, as Galway clung on until 10 minutes from the end, the momentum shifted.
Galway on the attack, they trail by 2. 10 minutes to go in Croke Park in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Trying to work a yard of space is Killian McDade. This is ambitious, it's high, it's up, it's over the bar. It's a magnificent hat-trick of points for Killian McDade, and the All-Star has brought Galway within one. Is there something in the air? Is something extraordinary about to happen in the capital? Dublin somehow are finding themselves under pressure. Galway have turned it over. The ball is with Shane Welch. Shane Welch has got a man outside him. He needs to flick it inside. His ankle is gone. It's back out the field to Darcy. Darcy goes for a bomb. Darcy over the bar. Galway are level at Croker. It's 14 all, and the men from west of the Shannon believe.
For anyone in Croke Park that day, and there are thousands that will claim to be, even if they weren't, the closing minutes were amongst the most enjoyable ever to be a Galway supporter, as the maroon tide swept Galway to a famous victory.
The Galway fans are on their feet. It's all eyes on the referee. We could be seconds away from the greatest victory in Croke Park in 23 years for Galway. All eyes on Sean Herson. Galway 17 points, Dublin 16. Scan has his head in his hands. The referee looks at his watch. He blows the whistle. Galway have won. It's the greatest day that Galway football has seen in over 2 decades. And every man, woman and child stands to applaud Pádraic Joyce and his gallant Galway men. Sweet mother of Jesus, they have pulled off the unthinkable. Forget about Taylor Swift. Shake it off in the Aviva and come over here to Croke Park, because you're witnessing the West awake. Galyev Abu!
The post-match celebrations were like an All-Ireland final without the cup. Galway people celebrated wildly. They had never seen a Galway football team beat Dublin in the championship, so why wouldn't they? But it was the manner of the victory and the heart shown by a team that just wouldn't die that was the real reason. The Armagh and Roscommon fans that stayed on were cheering. The rest of the country listening at home were cheering too. And in fairness, the Dublin supporters were magnanimous in defeat. 1983, this was not. The ghosts of the past have firmly been laid to rest. Unfortunately for Galway, there was no happy ending, as a tight semi-final win over Donegal set up an All-Ireland final meeting with an Armagh outfit that had shocked Kerry after extra time. A final that had many regrets for most of the Galway team and sideline mentors that day was lost by the narrowest of margins. There are some who suggest that not winning the All-Ireland final took away the gloss of beating Dublin in the quarter-final last year. I disagree. For those of us who were in Croke Park that June evening last summer, we will remember it for as long as we live. The day we beat the Dubs.